Hey there, ho there. You're listening to Super Toolshed, the only podcast on the internet where serious business is serious business. I'm Ben at the Sage. I'm joined by my usual partner in crime, Mark the Engineer. And today we're just going to catch up with the rest of you. No news, no happenstance involved in this episode. Just wanting to lay out what's happening in our lives to you. Mark, how have you been?
Well, I think before we lay into it, you know, every once in a while it's really important that we just have a tool shed, you know, because obviously I know that we haven't been doing tool shed as much as we would all prefer. Hold on. Yeah, I know that we're not doing tool shed as much as everybody would prefer, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're just trying to keep the train on the rails and keep everybody happy, and now we've got the Patreon, and that doesn't mean that tool shed suffers. It actually just means that our editing schedule gets moved forward, and it's not for lack of trying. We are trying to record tool shed.
It can be very hectic, considering what we've been working on for the past nine months, and now moving up the editing schedule and making sure everything is going as hunky-dory as possible, which is why I'm kind of at a loss for words, because it seems that something is amiss, or at least something that needs to be addressed, and I don't know what it is, and I'm hoping Mark can tell me really soon, so at least I'll know.
Yeah, because the way that this went down is, I came home, and Bennett wasn't online. Check his Twitter. Oh, 9 hours ago, he said he was going somewhere to film. Call him, get no answer, fine, get a text message back, everything okay, I'm on my way home. It's like, we'll talk about it on Toolshed. I'm like, I just need to record Toolshed right now and get some things off my chest. And he's like, everything okay? It's like, we'll talk about it on the show. Alright, radio silence, I'll be home in an hour and a half. And Bennett's scared right now because he doesn't know what it is. But let me lay out my week for you guys in terms of the pleasantries, which aren't very pleasant. On Monday, I broke my glasses, which, not great. I had to, like, I went to Lens Crafters and the lab was closed, and I didn't want to spend money at Lens Crafters anyway, so I ended up going to Target and getting a pair of reading glasses, which fit my original lenses perfectly. They're just slightly too small for my head, but they're stretching out, so it doesn't matter.
And they're girl frames.
And they are, in fact, ladies' frames. They have little flowers on them, but I can deal with that. I'm secure. But that was the first kind of indignity of this week. Second indignity, or at least the second massive inconvenience, was that my mixer, which was an Alesis Multimix USB 4, started developing a hiss at negative 60 decibels. Couldn't fix it, couldn't noise cancel it, couldn't do jack of shit with it, and it turned out that it was just a problem that the model has that nobody saw coming. It's just an age problem, even though I only bought it a year and a half ago. So if you ever aspiring voice talent, I absolutely tell you that if you decide to make the jump to XLR, the Alesis Multimix 4 is not the one for you. I would say that the IO9 isn't so bad, actually. I had that for a couple of years, and I actually sent it to Lachlan, so he's using it now, and he hasn't reported any problems with it. So if you had to get a preamp slash mixer slash USB interface, the Alesis IO9, that's pretty much where it's at. But since that broke, and I got the product replacement warranty, what we call a PRP in the biz, which Guitar Center has the best frickin' PRP I've ever heard of, where I have never felt so not interrogated. I've had PRPs before through Best Buy and GameStop and whatever, and whenever it is you have to call for warranty service, they just interrogate the crap out of you. What did you do?
You dropped it in the toilet, didn't you?
You dropped it in the toilet. That's not a fucking Game Boy. You can't just do that, you know.
Did you try and shove it up your ass? Did you try to do that?
So, you know, like, so guitar, but the Guitar Center warranty people are so ridiculously nice, and they're like, okay, so this is just a product fault? Yeah, you didn't do anything. Nope. All right. Well, here's your shipping label. As soon as we get confirmation that UPS has it, we'll send you a gift card via email. And I went, email? I don't have to wait for it?
Oh, you do have to wait for the return, though.
I had to wait. Like, seriously, I called them yesterday And then I had a gift card in my email inbox this morning.
That is customer service, ladies and gentlemen.
That is the real fucking definition of customer service. And I was talking to my mom today about how, you know, because we've had back and forth conversations all the time about how, you know, like how you treat retail people and, you know, how it's really important to just never walk into a place, you know, no matter what's broken, no matter how frustrated you are, never fucking walk into a place and say, I'm going to get what I want over your goddamn pink slip. That's not how you do business, especially, and that's most certainly not how you get what you want. You know, everybody's afraid already to lose their job because they need health insurance. So just assume that everybody wants to help you no matter what, so long as your requests are reasonable. So, now I have the Blue Icicle preamp, which is a single, very simple, single knob preamp, which is lit to look like a little blue icicle, which is very cute because blue always makes everything cute. And it works very well. As you can hear, it sounds great. It's very controllable. So I was, here comes the bad news. I was with my friend Joe when we were in Plymouth meeting getting this thing. And we go to St. David's because we figure, okay, well, let's go get lunch. We'll get lunch at Chipotle, whatever, which is on Route 30. And people make left turns into the opposing lane of Route 30 all the time. So you're on one side, you know, you're on the westbound side. You want to go eastbound. You've got to go across and you make this left-hand turn or, you know, vice versa. But it's always a left-hand turn. So we leave a parking lot. We leave the parking lot for Chipotle. And I travel. And it's 25 miles an hour on this road, and I travel less than 100 feet. And immediately in front of me, unstoppably, is a 2013 Ford Fusion. And I lock my brakes, I veer the car to the left, I tried everything to prevent this accident. Meanwhile, they didn't do a goddamn thing to prevent this accident from happening. I need to make that expressly clear that they pretty much stopped in the middle of Route 30. And I got into my first real car accident at the wheel. I mean, I've had car accidents. I've had people run me off the road. I totaled my Toyota because of the traction control system freaking out. But this is the first time I've ever really been in a proper car accident with people. And I moved the bird over to the CVS parking lot, which is right there, which is the parking lot they came out of because it has an inlet and an outlet. And they just sat there in the middle of the road. So I tell Joe, stay in the car. And I get out and I run over and it's like, is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? No injuries. They're like, no one's bleeding. I don't need to call 911. And it's four Asian people, four very, 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 very Asian people. And in very thick accents, they say, no, we are fine. And I go, okay. Do you want to move your car out of the road? You're kind of like, we're causing traffic right now. We just need to sort everything out. And they're like, no, we call police. We call police because you don't move accident. And I went, all right, fine. Call the police. Police show up. They run through everything that I just ran through. Everybody okay? No injuries? Everybody's fine. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's get this car out of the road. And they explain, like when they explain to this cop, they lie straight to his face and they said, we were coming out of this parking lot and we checked for car. No, there were no cars. So we think he was speeding. You son of a bitch. All right, let's just, now that I have the walking talking calculator with me.
Yes.
Let's just run through this.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Chipotle Wells Fargo parking lot. I made a left-hand turn onto Lancaster Avenue, Route 30 East towards Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The distance between, of which that is an elevated parking lot or a slightly elevated parking lot to the point when I have to slowly exit that parking lot to make sure that I don't scrape my exhaust on my sport car with the sport suspension. on the top plane of this ramp. So I make this exit left. There's no cars going any other direction. I'm in the free and clear because I actually wait and check. The distance that I travel is severely less than 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
The width of the average street, especially of minor highways, is 64 feet per two lanes.
The width?
The width, is roughly about, I think what Google says is about 64 feet.
64 feet and width, and that's a two-lane highway.
That's two lanes going in one direction and two lanes going in the other direction. So they traveled, because they were in front of my car, squarely in front of my car. The damage shows this. So that means that they traveled a distance of 64 feet inside of 2 seconds. While I was traveling perpendicular to them, still gaining speed because I hadn't reached the speed limit of 25 miles an hour yet, because I don't care what they thought my car could do. I'm sorry, I don't have enough torque to make it from 0 to 60 that fast.
In 300 feet? No.
In less than 100. In less than 100.
Less than 100? A McLaren P1 doesn't have enough torque.
So, so Google says, because if you transfer FPS to MP to miles per hour, it says that they were traveling at about 8.4 miles an hour out of this parking lot. And I was traveling less than 25, gaining speed, but I was speeding. That was brilliant. And then the cop proceeds to tell him, look, you are coming out of the parking lot. It is your responsibility to make sure that it is safe to exit the parking lot. Because in Pennsylvania, and I didn't even know this, in Pennsylvania, when you exit a parking lot, you don't have right of way, which generally speaking, I guess you don't. I mean, I guess you really, really don't, especially with all of these because we have tons and tons of old roads, you know.
Especially because there's no there's no traffic signals, there's no stop sign, there's no stop light. The cars are going their direction; they have the right of way. It's not like you're making a left turn. They weren't making a left turn, rather.
And you know, to their defense, in the CVS parking lot is a set of shrubs. It's a set of shrubs which are about eye height. And the new Fusion is a lower slung sports car than its predecessor, sports sedan than its predecessor.
I was about to say, the Ford Fusion ain't no sports car.
But, so to their credit, I mean, there's entirely the possibility that, combined with the fact that my car is low to the ground, their car is low to the ground, and the shrubs are not low to the ground, that there's entirely the possibility that they couldn't see me. So, here's the damage so far, because now I'm facing down, because I'm going to have to wait and see whether or not Radnor Township sends me a ticket, because the last time when I totaled my Toyota, they sent me a ticket, and then they kept saying, you know, like, you're responsible for control of your car, except when a computer controls your car, you're not in control of your car, are you? If the computer thinks that it knows better than you, it most certainly fucking is in control of the car and not you. So I'm going to have to fight. If I get a ticket, I'm going to have to fight Radnor Township. I'm going to have to fight with their insurance company, who I only just joined up with 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to fight with their insurance company for the following damage. Currently, both of my headlight motors for my flip-up headlights, they're shot. The headlight bulbs, they're fine. One of my turn signals shattered, but the bulb is still good. I need a frame straightening. I need two new fenders. I'm going to need a new nose, which means that, if their insurance company pays out, I'm going to have to get a Knight Rider nose because they don't make my nose anymore. I can't just order one. So that's something. But the frame straightening is really the big nut, because all the estimates I see online are like $60 an hour, and it depends on how many bends they've got to do and all this other shit, because it has to be, because they have to use a hydraulic frame straightener. And what I really hate is that this cop, I don't know what it is about this county, about this, overall county, where their whole thing is like, you need to be in control of your car, you need to be in control of your car. The police report is going to say that you were going too fast. And I said, but I wasn't speeding. Well, I don't know that, and I didn't say that. What I said was, you were going too fast, and what I'm saying is, you were going too fast to prevent this accident. Well, that sounds like I was speeding, dickhead. But I wasn't speeding, and I wasn't going too fast to prevent this accident. A clutch of Asian people flew out at me, and I did my very best to control the car away from this accident. I slammed and locked my brakes. I wrenched the wheel to the left. Unfortunately, it was raining today, so I didn't have absolute traction. But if you want to talk about controlling my car, let's talk about controlling my car. I talk to you guys about my car all the time, just in small stints. But let me tell you a little bit about my car. My car is a 1991 3.1 V6 Firebird. It came out of the factory with 140 horsepower. Not a lot. It doesn't have sophisticated suspension. It doesn't have sophisticated steering. But the thing is that if you take care of it, then you're good. And what is it that I've been doing for the last 2 years? I've been taking care of it and rebuilding it. So if this cop wants to argue with me that I don't care about control of my car, when I've replaced my entire steering rack, 2 out of my 4 springs already, my steering gearbox, my power steering fluid twice, all of my brakes, my brake lines, my wheel cylinders, my brake hardware, my brake transfer box, my master cylinder, my tires don't even have 40,000 miles on them yet. I've got brand new bearings sitting in between my brand new rotors. And I've got a brand new steering column. So if this cop wants to argue with me, and if some judge wants to argue with me, well, you weren't controlling your car. I'm sorry, officer and your honor, but I control my car like it's made of glass. Last I checked, a defensive driving course was important in this state, in which I took one. I took one, and I went to driving school I was 16 when I went to driving school, but that didn't mean that I just went, oh, you know what? I need to forget learning how to drive anymore. That doesn't matter. You know, like, when I saw Mika Häkkinen drive, it was a revelation to me. I went, I am bullshit at driving. So, but I hate that this is their argument in this county, in Montgomery County, that they, like, well, you have to control your car. Any accident is a loss of control of the car, and that's your fault. No. No, it's not. Like, you want to know why it is that I just had a head-on collision and my wrists weren't shattered? Because I learned a long time ago from a stuntman on a documentary that if you have a front-on collision, you take your hands off the wheel because that shock reverberates straight into your wrists and breaks them.
Yeah, my uncle has a daughter that went through the exact same thing. Collapsed the entirety of her left ulnar and radius. Just folded like an accordion.
It's just not meant to do that. They're not meant to withstand that kind of shock. So I've got the frame to straighten. I've got replacement parts already sitting in the garage for my headlights. And there's plenty of parts that can be replaced. I mean, the thing is that, like, I actually get to say, you know, we always make these jokes about, like not us, but people in general. Like, oh, man, they don't make cars like they used to. I would hate to see what your car does to one of these new fiberglass cars. I'll tell you what it did to one of these fiberglass cars. My car, the only thing that actually broke, the only integral mechanical part that broke, was a heater control valve, to which I called my mom. And I said, Mom, can you do me a favor? I need you to go to Advance and find me a heater control valve. It should be about $16.99. Then drive out to St. David's and come and deliver it to me with a pair of pliers and go home. And she said, well, we have AAA. Why don't you get AAA? I went into the CVS and they're like, well, if you have AAA, why don't you go AAA? And I went to a Rite Aid looking for hose clamps. And they said, if you have AAA, you should totally use AAA right now. And I said, no, I am having a terrible week. And the last thing that I'm going to do is put my car, which I love, on a truck and have it gurneyed home. My mom came with the heater control valve. I installed it. I refilled the radiator with water because thankfully all of the, because all of the antifreeze didn't come out of the system, surprisingly.
Small miracles.
Started the car and drove her home. All right. Drove my car named Molly home. I drove Molly home. And she still runs. She still works. Her headlights don't flip up anymore. But that's okay. It's all right. I'm not looking forward to this fight. I'm not looking forward to anything that's going to happen over the course of the next week. But the one victory that I managed to claw out of the jaws of defeat was installing a heater control valve so that I could drive my car home.
Now that, my friends, is a tale of finding the will to carry on when all else has failed you.
And I'll be honest, like after the cop left, after he gave me a spiel and he was like, well, you know, like you can take some solace in the fact that you and your friend are probably gonna slag me when I leave. And I went, no, we're not those guys. We're not. We know that you're just doing your job. And like, it's not you that's making you say this to me. It's the township, I'm sure. It's the county, I'm sure. So Officer Gallagher was his name. Trust me, I have nothing against you. You'll never hear my podcast. You'll never hear a word from me again, I'm sure, until I have to show up in your fucking courthouse. But I'm not slagging you. I'm slagging this bullshit fucking spiel about all accidents are caused by a lack of control of the car. Like, no. No, no, no. I was in control of my car. I spent a lot of money and a lot of hard work and blood, sweat, and tears to control my car. These towny kids, who I'm sure mommy and daddy's gonna fix it for them. You know, they don't give two shits about that car. However, in like just a real backwards to talk about like, oh, you should see the other guy. I blew all four of their curtain airbags.
Ooh.
All four of them. Caved in their fucking driver's side. And that, my friends, is why Detroit Steel beats who gives a shit aluminum and fiberglass any day of the week.
Let's put a cap in this and say Detroit Steel in the 90s. Not so much today.
I'll take it. My steel is 24 years old. It has some rust here and there. But you want to know what? When it counted, didn't fucking matter for shit. Because, you know, like they tell you, like whenever, like I don't know if any of you have bought a car in the last few years, a new car, but when they give you the walk around, they always open up the hood and they show you these little perforations that are in the frame. Because really cars don't have chassis anymore. They're all unibody, which means that everything's just kind of built together, which is supposed to make the overall car more rigid. Now keep that word in mind, rigid. But they show you these perforations in the frame, and they're all over the fucking car. And your brain goes, why are there these little dots all over the car? And they tell you, it is because your car, this car that you might potentially buy, is meant to crush like a can or an accordion. These are called crumple zones. Now, why is it that they would have your car crushed like an accordion? That seems like a stupid thing. Well, it's because they want your front and rear end to absorb the force of impact, which if your car acts like a spring, what does a spring do? It absorbs force. However, it also instantaneously totals your car.
Yep.
My car doesn't have crumple zones. My car was made before crumple zones. So when my car without the crumple zones went up against the car with crumple zones, nothing happened. All my damage is on the passenger side. All of it. Like, there was a little bit of reverberative damage, so I'm going to have to get two new fenders, not just one. But my doors, they're fine. My frame, yeah, it's going to need a little bit of straightening. Their door, their frame, though, oh, my God, I should have taken pictures. Because I don't need to take pictures because we're a no-fault state. So it's
I was more, about to say, are you a no-fault state? Or?
Yeah, we're totally a no-fault state. So no one is technically at fault, but it's totally their fucking fault. And the thing is that like, okay, here's what the insurance adjusters are going to say. They're going to say that their driver's side door is entirely caved in. That part of the passenger side door is entirely caved in. This accounts for 35% of the driver's side. On my side, when they send the adjuster to my house, they're going to see that my the passenger end of my front end quarter panel slash fender and frame is bent downwards, and that goes just about to the middle of the car. And then that's it. This accounts for less than 20% of my car, which means that they had to be directly in front of me, that I attempted to turn out of the way. And then, of course, but here's the best part. They have onboard diagnostics Gen 2, which comes with this beautiful thing that they can't lie about no matter how hard they try, called telemetry. They have, I mean, OBD2 is great. It lets you have your insurance snapshot, which makes your car insurance cheaper. It makes it easier to figure out what's wrong with your car. Error codes aren't nearly so, like, you exchange cryptic error codes for a bazillion error codes that make no sense. But the one thing that you can't escape is telemetry. That car, especially a 2013 Fusion, is tracking what it's doing, how fast it's going, all the time.
So you're thinking that somewhere out there, there's a Ford server just going beep, 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 beep. Oh, wow, these guys are fucked.
See, the thing is that it's not wireless. They're not wirelessly sending telemetry, but that telemetry is hard-coded into the system and can't be cleared. They couldn't clear that with a dark alley and $5,000 in a brown paper bag. So I'm sure that they're going to say, oh, he is at fault. He was speeding. He was going so fast. And we had no time to react. Because one of the things that I found really interesting is that they had told the cop, like, well, we're going that way. And the fucking cop says, Officer Gallagher says, there's a lot of things that way. Where were you going? Except if they were going that way, if they were going 30 east towards Philadelphia, same direction that I was going, then why did they drive in the middle of the street? They drove in the middle of the street because they were going 30 west. And 30 east is towards Ardmore, which is where the rich people live.
So what do you, like, using this logic, what do you think happened? What do you think on their end?
Well, I went into the CVS because I had to get zip ties. Mm-hmm. Zip ties solve all problems. Because I popped out my pop clips that keep the three major points in my fender, or three major points in my bumper attached to the car. So one of them popped out somewhere. Don't know where. Couldn't find it. So I was in there, and the person at the register, she's a very, very nice woman. She says, are you okay? I saw the accident that you had out there. Those Asians were really raucous. They were in here and just practically screaming, talking a mile a minute, and just so, like, happy-go-lucky and carefree and blah, blah, blah. Like, and they were kind of really obnoxious. And it just looked like they didn't have a care in the world. And I went, uh-huh. What I think happened is that a car with four people having a conversation, having an intense conversation about whatever the fuck they were having a conversation about, while the driver also engaged in this conversation, he saw the last car, because I saw the same car he did. The last car that cleared the lane was silver, and it went by, and that's when I went. And then he saw that car, but didn't see me turn out of the Wells Fargo parking lot. So then he went after there was a 2-second gap, which the golden rule is not 2 fucking seconds, kids. So that's what I think happened. And I think I also think they were going on 30 west, not east. West towards Westchester, not east towards Philly. And I'm sure that east is back in Ardmore, where their parents live. So,
what kind of rich parents buy for their kids a Ford Fusion?
The kind that didn't get rich by spending their money. That's how. Like, I hope it's a lease. I hope it's a lease. Like, oh, you were trying not to run over your fucking 12,000 miles allowance a year. Guess what? Oh, I just hope, like, I wish that car was totaled. I mean, honestly, when the airbags deploy, in many, many cases, they just total the car. Because the cabin isn't safe to breathe in anymore, not really. Because what do they use to deploy airbags?
Isn't it carbon dioxide?
An accelerant. They use an explosive.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Like, when an airbag deploys, and you see, I'm sure you've seen plenty of, like, airbag footage, and there's that dust. That dust mm-hmm. is the resultant of the accelerant. If you get that shit in your eyes, it hurts a lot.
It hurts a lot.
It's almost like getting pepper sprayed in the eyes. Not mace, just pepper sprayed. But none of them ran out and were like, so I guess they didn't get any in their eyes.
Unfortunately,
god damn it. But yeah, like, deployed all four of their fucking airbags, and I really hope it's totaled. I hope that it's totaled and they all learned a lesson, which is that you absolutely, cause seriously, you want to know what that situation is? That situation is every car at every con all over America. It's one driver trying to pay attention and then he loses his focus because everyone's talking about fucking Haruhi and shit. Like, let me show you these pictures of my waifu. Look, I'm trying to drive.
No, waifu, no.
Oh my god. So no, please go on.
No, I'm trying to deal with the information as it's presented because one, I was expecting something like completely like soul shattering because the way you presented the information to me, which you know is completely accurate, by the way. Like, I just get this text message from. I got a missed phone call message from Mark. I text him saying, you know, I'm heading back. It'll be, you know, I'll try to be soon. And he says, ETA? It's like an hour and a half. Good. We're doing tool shed tonight. Why? Is something wrong? I got some things I need off my chest. Oh, God. Please tell me nobody died. Please tell me nobody died or you're not sick or... God damn it. Why is, like, all the bad things in life happen to you and it seems to be only you?
I don't know, but no one believes me. It's like, oh, bad things happen to people all the time. No, bad things happen to the engineer a lot. All right? Like, we are chronicling this now. Busted glasses, busted mixer, busted car. And it is only by sheer force of fucking will and a bloody thumb. I totally did bleed. Because tension clamps suck. Those stupid little tension clamps, which are supposed to replace screw clamps... Like, screwing hose clamps, like, if someone ever tries to sell you a tension clamp, like, oh, yeah, no, for these hose clamps, you can just use these, and you use needle-nose pliers. First off, you never have needle-nose pliers, all right? You never have them. Two, you never have needle-nose pliers that are nearly fucking long enough. Just always go for the screwing hose clamps, okay? Just do that for me. But I will tell you something. I mean, you want to talk soul-shattering? When the cop was gone, when Officer Gallagher was gone... I slumped over my car. I slumped by the driver's side front tire, and I cried. I just couldn't help it. I especially since I've got this cop telling me, like, you need to control the car. You need to control the car. Motherfucker, I can show you receipts. I've got receipts and warranties of tires plus visits and multiple Napa auto parts orders and multiple fucking Advance auto parts orders and purchases. I can show you that I control my car. Please stop saying I wasn't in control of my car. So after all of that, I just slumped in front of the driver's side front wheel and I had myself a little cry for about 20 seconds. And then I got tactical because that's how you do it. I'm not saying don't cry. Crying is important. Holding it in is not good for you. It makes serial killers, you know? Like, it makes serial killers and wife beaters. You need to cry. If you need to cry, fucking find yourself a dark little corner and just cry for a minute. So I cried. You know, the big tough black goth guy cried. And after that 20 seconds was over, maybe 30, I got tactical. I started looking at my phone. You know, Joe was still kind of patting my back. And he's like, it's okay, man. Like, it's not like the car doesn't drive anymore. It's like, yeah, but something's broken. I don't know what this piece is. And I went to the, forum that I normally go to find out. So I just search mushroom shape coolant. And it comes back with a heater control valve. Go to the advanced website. Heater control valve, $16.99. Please tell me that the store down the road has it. Nope. Store down the road from my house. Nope. Store on Oregon Avenue. Nope. The nearest one was in Penn's Landing. So I had to send my poor mother to Penn's Landing, 25 minutes away, and then have her drive to St. David's, 45 minutes away, to bring me a piece no bigger than a Kaiser roll, really. Not much bigger than that. No bigger than a small flashlight. But you know what? At the end of the day, I drove her home. Because I couldn't. I couldn't put her on the fucking truck, man. I could have called AAA at any time. I have AAA Premium. I have an infinite number of my car fucked up, please drive me homes. But that's not where I was at. I was like, I cannot let this happen. And my mom was like, just call AAA. No!
This is a matter of pride, goddammit!
This is a matter of, I am not going to let this beat me. You know, I've been getting beaten the fuck up all week with the glasses and the mixer. I'm not letting this fucking beat me, man. And I didn't. And I proceeded to drive to Delaware, go to Total Wine, buy a 4-pack of Shock Top, drive Joe home, and then drove me home. You know, and the lesson of the story is, first off, don't let anybody tell you what you're doing. If you know that you're a good driver, if you don't have any fucking accidents on your record, no moving violations, you know that you're not a speeder, don't let some flappy-headed asshole tell you your business. Especially when the other car is chock full of fucking yuppie morons with a leased car that their parents gave them the money for. Don't let anybody fucking tell you your business. And two, you know, if you gotta cry, cry, then get tactical. That's because you know what? With your two hands, can you solve just about anything? And I'm going to have to fight a ticket and two insurance companies, but I'm going to win. That's my promise. I'm going to win. And even if it means I have to give up all of my customer service empathy, because that's what I really have. Working customer service for so long, I have customer service empathy. I'm like, I know your job sucks. I know you're just doing your job. But even if it costs me that empathy that I built up over years, I'm going to win this. Because my car means more to me than that fucking Fusion means to them. And my car most certainly means more to me than their goddamn lives or their comfort. So, that's it. And if they claim soft tissue damage, because that's the other thing that people like to do, they like to claim soft tissue damage. You know, the whole my neck, whiplash, whiplash, that's called soft tissue damage. It's something that they can't prove and they can't disprove. So, insurance companies just pay out for it, whatever. But, you know what, they claim soft tissue damage, no fault state, that's built into my policy. They get more money, and that's it. You know, I don't have to fucking hear from them, and they can't take me to court, so fuck them. So that's been my week, everybody. And really, I did want to get this off my chest, but really, I just want to shoot the shit. You know, like not too much has happened for us to really hold up an entire tool shed, but goddammit, we're going to try. Because we know that you guys are listening, and we know that you guys get kind of antsy when there's no tool shed, and I appreciate you guys listening to me. I mean, this is the longest fucking car talk that we've ever done.
Well, there's a reason why we call this Super Tool Shed instead of something, you know, real, you know, delegating to a specific subject, because there really is no set subject to Super Tool Shed. It's just us bullshitting like we normally do, except this time we keep it on record. And I guess I should follow your week with a story about my week. And my week has been one of frustration. Not because shit is happening to me like you, it's because my body is shit. I am going to make a terrible old man. I am. Like, I complain about, like, all my joint and hip problems that I'm experiencing now. Imagine when I'm 85 if I'm still alive. God damn it, I might just kill me. Just do me a favor and kill me. And when I hit 80 and I'm, you know, strapped to a gurney because it's the only comfortable position, and yet it still feels like my legs are caught in a steamroller, just shoot me. Like, get my family around, we'll make it a party. All right, we'll have a pinata, dress like me, you can bust my legs open, candy falls out. Have a grand old time. Just put me out of my fucking misery. Please. You have this on record.
I do. I'm gonna play this when I show up to your house with a crowbar.
All right, 80 freaking years old, okay? I mean, I had, at that point, there's not much left in my life. I am a burden on my family. Sure, there might be some memories attached to me, but you know what? You're going to get over it. Pop's going to take a dirt nap. And this large, scary black man who is older than me, this elderly black man who is still somehow spry despite being 83, will just take a big old lead pipe, beat my brains in.
I don't know. My granddad was pretty feisty in his old age. He was pushing 80, and he was big, rough looking dude.
It's like that's usually how it works. Like black people, for some reason or another, just age really, really well. I mean, like
this
hate
almost
to...
sounds like a quick twitch muscle fiber thing, but I'm gonna allow it.
I'm not saying anything. It seems to me,
before we go on. Please don't be offended for me, Nicholas. All right? I'm cool with it. I'm cool. Don't gotta be offended for me. We're just bullshitting.
It's what we frickin' do.
You know, it's like, boo, robot I just made up.
I mean, like, this is exactly the kind of argument that people who make racist jokes or, you know, use racial epithets in a joking manner, this is the argument that follows. Well, I use it around my black friend all the time and they don't mind. It's like, good, use it around your black friend. I mean, this is what is happening right now. I mean, it's not like I'm going up to some black person I haven't met just up on the streets like, hey, do you know you're a mooly, right? Would you like some watermelon and cornbread? Lol. You know, troll walk away. I'm not doing that shit. I would be justifiably tased if I did that.
How you liking things, you Moorish jigaboo porch monkey nigga?
Exactly. I'm not doing that. You're doing that.
I'm doing that.
I've always said that you would grow up to one day to be stink meaner from the Boondocks.
I'm done, nigga. What's really done? I don't know. Here's the thing. My granddad aged really well. My mom is aging really well. We could just have good genes. But generally speaking, I mean, you're not wrong. You know, people of European descent don't overly age well. And before someone cites to me like, what about David Bowie? David Bowie bathes in the blood of virgins.
Every single night he takes milk, squeezed from the tits of the youngest virgins, and then bathes and lets it go through him. He has a colonic, actually.
He milks them, then he kills them, and he bathes in their blood. And then he drinks the milk in a crystal goblet while he's bathing in their blood, like, this is fantastic. It tastes like stardust.
I should make Labyrinth 2. But again, we come back to that idea of what is appropriate or not. Now, it's all about context at the end of the day, I feel. Like, I'm comfortable around you because you're my best friend, and I can make black jokes because you know that I mean them with all due hilarity and good intentions, and that at the end of the day, no feelings are being hurt. Now, if I went up to some random black person, I just told a black joke, and they got offended, they have every single right. They have every right to, like, say, like, you're fucking racist. Because they don't know anything
about... I don't want to talk about contextual racism, though. I want to talk about the fact that I have documented proof that I'm allowed to beat you to death.
At 80, okay?
At 80, fine. My friend Dave came up with the greatest thing. Because he knows that he can't physically beat me. Like, he's stocky like you, but he just cannot physically outmatch me. He physically outmatches everyone except for me for some reason. I'm just deceptively strong. But he said the most brilliant thing the
Swag.
Night that, he said the most brilliant thing the night we went to see Guardians. He said, "That's it, Swint. I know what I'm going to do. I know how I'm going to kill you." And I said, "What? I'm going to wait until the time machine is invented." And if it doesn't happen in a reasonable amount of time, I'm going to invent it. And then I'm going to travel forward in time to when you're a decrepit old man. There's no way you can beat me then. And I went, you know what, Dave? If you go so far as to invent time travel, I would just let it happen.
Well, here's the thing. He shouldn't have told you. So now what you do is he's going to disappear after he invents the time machine to go forward in time. And then you say, oh, wait a minute. He told me he's going to go forward in time to kill me as an old man. And he disappeared for the space-time continuum. And that's when you keep a piece on you every day for the rest of your life.
Wouldn't that be fucked up if you, like, bust into my hotel room, I'm fucking pushing 90 or something, and I've just got a gun? Just like as soon as the door opens and I know it's not a nurse, like, I ask all the nurses to wear, like, little GPS units. Like, or no, they'll all have HID cards at that point, and HID cards track you, where you are in the building. Some of them do. So, like, can I have access to your HID system? I don't mean to be a bother. I'm waiting for someone. It's like, no, someone's going to try to kill me before my time, and I just want to make sure that I don't shoot one of you in the face before he gets here. So then they do it. They, like, give me little access on my phone to their HID system. Like, okay, there's someone at my door, and it's not one of my family members, and it's not a nurse or a doctor. Hi, Dave!
You see, I aim for a non-vital part, so that way you can hear me moat. You can hear me, like, just shaking my black ass. Still spry after all these years. Ooh!
I didn't even have to shoot you. Still could have killed you with my bare hands. What's good, nigga? What's really good? Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
And that's when you'll just, like, tap dance on his ass.
Oh, my God. The biggest blemish on Warner Brothers' career. But, yeah, like, the whole thing about you being... Like, we've been going back and forth with this for a while. Like, okay, try Epsom salt. No. Try Icy Hot. No. New chair. New desk. And it's coming down to, all right, you're just busted. Like, we need to put you in traction.
I know. It's like the act of sitting down hurts. Let me put that in perspective. The act of sitting down, the thing that you do when you're tired, hurts.
Well, think about it like this. It's discouraging you from sitting down, which means that you are discouraging the development of bowel cancer.
But I don't edit while I'm standing up.
You could. We could make you a standing desk.
Oh, God.
But you'd hate the shit out of that.
Oh, God, I would. I get antsy feet. It's like, I'm editing, but I'm also dancing a jig. Ooh!
Oh, that would
suck. That's how I keep in shape. Just strap some ankle weights on me, and I'm just doing some running aerobics. Yeah, place that clip right there. Crush the blacks right there. Oh, I am multitasking. Really spangly outfit, too.
You want to go fucking Richard Simmons?
No, let's go Hal from Malcolm in the Middle on roller skates.
Oh, that would be the worst. I really couldn't unsee that.
You're the one who brought the idea of a standing desk to me. Now, first and foremost, no. I don't think I could function with a standing desk. I have to sit down,
now,
but...
Now the numbers on the standing desk are getting disproven. Like, standing, you don't burn, like, this many calories with a standing desk. Like, I remember every other day on Lifehacker and Gawker and everywhere else, it was like, standing desk, it's revolutionary. You burn so many calories, discourages development of bowel cancer. Which, bowel cancer is inoperable right now, kids. So that's really fucking serious, that our sedentary lives are actually increasing the chances that we're gonna die.
Wait. I have to interrupt you right there. Bowel cancer is treatable.
It's treatable, but it's not operable. I thought that's what it was.
No, that's pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is not operable. That's pretty much a death sentence.
Mm.
But bowel cancer, considering my survived bowel cancer, is completely treatable, and if I'm not... I'm pretty sure it's operable, because otherwise, what did she go through two operations for?
Peace of mind.
It's like
a placebo surgery.
So, yeah, we're going to schedule for exploratory surgery. That's when we cut open your body, and then we just kind of rummage through your innards, you know, for fun.
for fun.
Yeah, just be grateful that we don't leave any of our cigarette ashes in your lungs.
Yeah, like, honestly, I mean, how are we going to leave a beeper inside your body if we can't cut you open? You know?
You're being really, really selfish here, all right? Why can't... please. I am asking you, please let me cut you open!
But yeah, like, the standing desk was like the kale. Although kale right now is still top of the dog pile. Like, fucking kale, man. Kale cures everything. But the standing desk for a couple of years ago was like the thing. It was like, now you're going to take your table and make the fucking legs extra long so you can have a standing desk, or put all your shit on a shelf and stand in front of a wall like a jerk off. And now I'm seeing articles where it's like, the standing desk is kind of bullshit. You don't really burn this many calories. Blah, doesn't decrease the chances of X, Y, or Z. And I'm just like, are you kidding? Are you fucking kidding? Like, it's there's like a million fucking IKEA hacks right now for standing desks, and now you want to tell me that they're all bullshit?
Well, it's like those shape-up shoes that Kim Kardashian tried to hawk a few years ago. I remember like Skechers like, hey, these revolutionary shoes make you burn like 10% more calories. 2 months later, yeah, they actually cause rheumatoid arthritis in the hips. I think they directly fund terrorism in Al-Qaeda. I literally think you are the worst person in the world if you buy one of those Skechers shape-up sneakers. And the best thing that you could do for the human race at this point is to walk slowly but purposefully into the Atlantic Ocean. And don't stop.
Don't stop! Don't stop till the bubbles stop. No, seriously, like, you know what the new shape-ups is, though? Those fucking Skeletoes shoes, those hideous things.
Oh, God, those, like, water sock-looking things with that feel. I honestly, if you entertain the thought of buying those because, oh, I want to be able to free run, you are 400 pounds.
No, like, not even, like, it's not even that. It's just the fact that Skeletoes are a hideous shoe. And it's like, oh, you could do free running, and it's just how nature intended. No, your feet. It's just how nature intended. You know what nature, and I absolutely understand that nature didn't intend for glass and cigarette butts and shit like that. But generally speaking, I mean, if you're running at a track, I'm fairly certain that you could run fucking barefoot. But the fact that people who aren't even running, who don't run, wear Skeletoes, it's like people who wear fucking Crocs. And I'm just like, oh God, why do you wear these, why do you put these things on your body? Like, I cannot think of a worse combination on the face of the earth than Skeletoes, yoga pants, and what's the worst shirt I can think of?
Ugh, Ralph Lauren polo.
No, that's
like those like vertical stripe, you like that vertical stripes with the puka shells that bros wear.
Maybe because I'm like, no, it's got to be like a really form fitting outfit. So like a yoga onesie. So I can't think of anything worse than a yoga onesie and Skeletoes, because at that point, all you are is naked. Like, you're just a bad artist's rendition of a human being, where it's like, well, I'm not, like, of a human being wearing clothes. Like, well, I can't really draw folds or anything properly like that, so I'm just going to draw these lines and color in between them. and that's a person wearing a shirt or a superhero outfit. Like, really, that's what it is. It's that people are walking around dressed like Marvel characters to various degrees.
Well, that ain't that topical, Marvel superheroes in form-fitting cat suits. Do you have any opinion about Spider-Woman, Mark?
Don't get porn artists to draw your variant covers.
Don't get pissed off at variant covers?
No. Honestly, they want us to take Spider-Woman seriously, and I get that. And most certainly, you would never see fucking Mayday splayed out like that. But
at the same time, when you're having a female do that whole wall climbing thing, it's kind of hard to find an angle where her ass isn't on display.
Yeah, and the thing is that I say don't get porn artists to draw your variant covers, and that's with full knowledge that pretty much every fucking comic book artist at one point or another draws porn, because as soon as you have the superpower to draw, you're pretty much like, what's the next thing I need to draw? Boobs, you know.
Yeah, it just, you know, form following function in that regard, but...
Because, like, I can draw ladies, now I can draw naked ladies. You know, like, that's just kind of the progression of an artist. Whether, you know, man, woman, 14 years old, 27. You know, like, at some point, you're just like, I'm gonna draw naked ladies. And then, you know, eventually you start actually having sex, and then drawing naked ladies loses its luster.
I do like the point that I forgot who made it, where they said that, you know, nobody gives a shit when women are posed like men, except when men are posed in provocative poses like that. You know that, Todd McFarlane...
Or I thought you were going to tell me about the Hawkeye Initiative.
No. That's when, like, men pose like women. Mm. But somebody put it, like, the opposite. What about, like, that Spider-Man cover that Todd McFarlane drew where he was squatting with, like, you could see the bulge of his dick right there?
Yeah. You think the McFarlane... Well, all of McFarlane's covers were kind of weird like that.
Yeah, but nobody gave a shit about that.
Yeah, but it was also the 90s. It was also the age of Liefeld. You know, like, we don't call it the age of Liefeld because, like, we have the age of Ultron and the age of... And the age of Magneto or whatever it was. But we never talk about the age... We never call it the age of Liefeld when everything just looked of shit. Like, computer coloring had just become awesome, but everything looked of shit anatomically.
God. I think what really pisses me off about the whole situation is that when people are talking about the objectification of women, they talk as if it's universal. Like, everyone will objectify her. Because how can you not? Ass in the air. Well, that's one way to see it, but that's not the only way to see it.
It's also Marvel Comics. Like, I'm not really fucking going to Marvel for thoughtful fucking social commentary from a company that brought us, hey, the X-Men is about being different, but really it's totally about just being gay or a minority.
God, you saw Marvel's last attempt at trying to make a gay character. I believe they tried to reboot the Rawhide Kid as a gay man, basically. Yeah, no bullshit. They rewrote the Rawhide Kid as a gay man in, like, the 19th century West, of all things, and he talks like Jack from Will and Grace.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah. That's great. So we're just, like, so they reboot the Rawhide Kid. Don't name him the Bareback Kid.
The I Like It Rough Kid.
Yeah, the Rubbed It Raw Kid.
Oh, the Will It Fit Kid. Like, I Want It Up Sideways Kid.
God. The Perforated Colon Kid.
The KY Jelly Kid.
These are all great ideas. These are all fantastic ideas. We should send them to Marvel immediately. Like, hey, Quesada. We've got all these really terrible ideas right now, but since you are nothing but terrible ideas...
We think that you'll want to pay top dollar for them.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we'd like to take you through our proposed lineup of new superheroes for this day and age. Now, people have always been saying that the superhero world is a white male world, and we agree. So that's why we have the new superhero for a new white generation, White Power. White Power's amazing abilities include being able to find a taxi. Incredible credit ratings. Unfortunately, his weakness, dancing.
Getting a job. Time travel. Time travel is important.
Because no matter where he goes in time, he'll always be great. Nothing bad will ever happen to him.
Nope. Yes, we stole that from Louis C.K., but it's a poignant and good joke.
Now, I see that White Power is a little touchy for you. That's why we have another superhero that is very, very sensitive to today's political and social climate. Now, what is the biggest oppressed minority in the United States currently today? That is right, Therians. People who believe they are werewolves. So that's why we're a new superhero, Wary. This guy believes he's a werewolf, but he doesn't actually turn into a werewolf. He just kind of fights guys by growling a lot.
Ever. Yeah. Except he's not good during the full moon phase. He locks himself up in a cage and nothing ever happens. And no one knows. Until somebody actually decides to stay with him one night, and they're like, what happened? He's like, I don't know, I've never had it happen before.
And he wins the day because all the bad guys just feel so sorry for him that they just give up.
That's right. See, Gingersnaps use lycanthropy in order to, lycanthropy as a corollary for puberty. So we can use lycanthropy as a corollary for erectile dysfunction. Why not? Why not? I think that there's merit in that.
Like, what do you know, Joe? Nothing! That's why you work at Marvel.
That's why you're editor-in-chief of Bullshit Central. But yeah, the Spider-Woman thing didn't really bother me. Like, what bothered me is people being bothered by it. Where it's like, look, it's a fucking variant cover. No one fucking cares. Don't get, like, Marvel was at the fault for getting a fucking porn artist to do a variant cover. It's really fucking sad. But you want to know what? It made for endless amounts of conversation, which is always a good fucking thing. And it made for a really set of funny Deadpool pictures. So, I'm good.
It's the one thing that I've always had trouble with today's feminist climate is that they focus too hard on the media, sort of like the media spectrum. And at the end of the day, they're fighting against something that has no real tangible presence. This isn't a law. This isn't a, like, an injustice. No, that, like,
it's a set of really douchey people who are maintaining a status quo. And what we have, like, generally speaking, is a generational problem, because it's like, yes, you fight about it, you talk about it, you continuously talk about it, you know, and the conversation switches to that, and more people become aware of it. And really, it's more about raising awareness, because there is no fucking win right now. There's not going to be a win, because the studio system is exactly the same as it's always fucking been. The win, I mean, the quick win is new media. The quick win is the internet, but the internet is proving that win is not so quick and not so fucking easy. But,
and it doesn't last for very long.
But still, you know, like, so long as you can, you know, like so long as you can have the conversation about feminism, about the way that women are objectified and treated in media, it's like, well, congratulations, you live in the age of new media. Write, draw, create, and put it out there. Like, honestly, fucking take your ball and go home. Make your better comic with blackjack and hookers. All right? Do it. Fucking do, like, it. Why not? Like, find a bunch of creative people, get together and be like, we can do it better. You're right. You can do it better. Go do that.
The real big problem with this is that there is no other major outlet for people. Like, say women do want to read more comics, but they feel like they're being skeevy and perved on by reading books that they feel objectifies women. Now, if there were more books out there that were mindful of this and were careful to avoid such topics, or, you know, or to be mindful of their readers, then what real problem would there be? Like, there's those comics that I don't want to read, but there's a whole bunch of comics I do want to read.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, you're always on the precipice of the suspension of disbelief, right? So, mm-hmm. So it's about looking at something that isn't quite right, and it takes you out of that, and all of a sudden it stresses out, it stretches too far, your suspension of disbelief. All right, I get that. And more importantly, I absolutely get the idea that, you know, like, oh, like, yeah, of course we could do it better. Of course lots of people could do it better, but Marvel, DC, you know, Top Cow, they all have a much further reach than we'll ever have as internet media people. Like, yeah, you're right. You know, like they do need the change. And the thing is that the staffs are rotating, and they're rotating all the time. The door is constantly moving. So, you know, you're going to get, but it's always going to be a percentage, at least within this generation. It's always going to be a percentage of old school versus new guard, you know, like that's, and you'll get there. Like, everybody's going to get there. Everybody eventually is going to get to that golden fucking place. But we need to, you know, like the Spider-Woman thing, that created a lot of really important conversation about, you know, like, about whether or not Marvel thinks it's important, the conversation that's going on right now. But, you know, there's still that sense of, why are you talking so loud? You know, like there's... You know, like, don't scream. Argue correctly. And people will listen.
Debate. Make your point.
And don't listen to the sociopaths. Don't listen to the fucking trolls. You know, they exist. They're just a part, you know, they're just a part of the environment now. They're just going to do what they're going to do. They're like a force of nature. They're like the weather. You can't stop the weather, so you don't really mind the weather. You weather the weather. That's what you do. You know, you walk to your door You look like you walk upstairs, you look out the window, and you see it's cloudy outside. I should prepare for rain. Or you see it's raining. I should get an umbrella. It's hot outside. I should wear some light clothing today. It's cold outside. I should wear a parka. So trolls are just a part of the landscape. You know, they're like the weather. You weather the weather. They're not a part of, you know, what it is that you're trying to do. Like, them screaming at you doesn't mean that you need to scream back at them. They are not a part of your, of the importance of your conversation. They are just the peanut gallery, and that's what they're doing. They're throwing peanuts. You know, they're not throwing wrenches into your gears, because nothing that they can do can stop you from doing what it is that you're trying to do, because everybody universally recognizes that equality is important. Equality, not superiority. Not what's getting preached at every other second. Fucking superiority. It's like, no, we're not playing for superiority here, guys and gals, especially gals. We're playing for equality. And they don't fucking amount to anything in terms of equality. You know, they don't amount to anything in the grand scheme of the greater conversation. It's great that we had this conversation about Spider-Woman. It's great that we're going to have this conversation moving forward about how women are portrayed. And I know that even with Affleck fucking rewriting the script on Batman versus Superman, that Wonder Woman is gonna come out like bullshit. So, I know that we're gonna have a conversation about that too, about how the tough Amazon chick is just fucking window dressing all of a sudden, or all over again.
I just, you know, I keep coming back to what I've said time and time again about the frame, like, framing someone else's artistic, you know, art. The intent of an artist never matters in the interpretation. Unless you find it offensive, then fuck him.
Yeah, the thing is that you have to be responsible, because this is your superpower. Crying wolf is your superpower. You absolutely have the ability to, you know, like you have the burden and the ability to kind of say, look, I find this offensive. Well, and no one's going to ask you why. No one's really going to ask you why. I mean, some people might ask you why, but generally speaking, you're going to be in the free and clear. So, you know, that's why it is that we're making so many things protected classes right now, and that just generally means that we are going to have a lot of people getting their lives fucked up by people who generally just have a hair trigger. But so fucking be it. Now that we've gotten through this really interesting non sequitur, I think this is the longest tool shed that we've ever had. Clearly,
the longest tool shed, really?
Not by a long shot.
No. Maybe the longest tool shed we've had that didn't really start from something.
Yeah, I think it's important that we kind of check in, and, you know, when nothing's happening, that we just kind of do tool shed and have a little bit of fun and create a little bit of conversation. Now, that being said, obviously the Patreon's out. Currently we are up to 380 patrons?
From 40 patrons, yes.
Like, yeah, 300, you know, so from 40 patrons we're up to $380. And the perks are numerous. A little bit of shilling. You get your Sensorkaiser button, or you can get the full, you know, like, you get the Sensorkaiser button and the Anime Abandoned button, the Valkyrie Bitch button. Early access to episodes of Anime Abandoned, which this week's episode is
Space Adventure Cobra!
As a part of Actor Appreciation Month, and don't you want to see things like that early? Because, quite honestly, I saw that episode early, and it was fucking awesome.
Except for the appearance of one actor. I believe you quoted, I'm quoting here, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah, there's...
Now, I'm not going to mention the actor, but...
Oof. Yeah, there's a guy in the intro that I don't really like too much, but that's okay.
He doesn't listen to the podcast.
He doesn't listen to the podcast because he's too way, 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 way up his own ass. So that's cool. That's all right. But the new episode is going to be coming out right now. It's 3/18 on September 14th, so that means that you'll be seeing it today. But what about the next episode, and the one after that, and the one after that? Don't you kind of want to see those early, ad-free? Don't you want swag? Don't you want to get a t-shirt sent to you free the next time that we do t-shirts, as opposed to having to pay $12.95 for it?
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah.
All available at the Patreon. If you're listening to this podcast on the website, you can find it on the right banner below the Super Toolshed TV boxes. The image boxes, rather.
But the URL for the Patreon, for those of you who happen to be listening on whoever it is that keeps downloading and then re-uploading episodes of Toolshed.
Yeah, you can find them at patreon.com/BennettTheSage. Be careful, there's three T's in a row.
Yeah, that's always fun.
You gotta blame my mother. She insisted that I be named Bennett and it be spelled that way.
Hey man, never run into guys like that, so that's fine by me. I'd rather have a cool name than an average name.
Mark.
Well, we already know that's not true. That's just my nickname. But Marcellus was not a cool name growing up. It was not until Pulp Fiction, and it was too late by then. Way too late by then. So, obviously. Thank you all for kind of putting up with my need to do a tool shed.
Yeah, obviously you needed this more than just talking to me. You needed to throw your anger out into the ether and just let it be absorbed by our beautiful, handsome, sexy listeners out there.
Yeah, I mean, why waste a perfectly good tirade on the endless vastness of never being recorded? You know, sometimes... like, there's so much stuff that goes away out into space, so many conversations that I was like, oh man, why didn't we record that? That was hilarious. So this is one of those times where I saw it coming and I said, nope, we're not talking until you get home, and then I'm going to record it. And that is to your benefit. Thank you, everybody, for kind of putting up with this and listening. Services, normal Toolshed services, will resume as soon as something happens. So I'm going to close this bitch.
Go ahead.
Intro music by Joyce Acalis, outro music by Zero Reynolds. You can follow them both on Twitter using the links below. You can now take Super Toolshed wherever you go. Just go to benthesage.com/supertoolshed. For Ben the Sage, I'm Mark the Engineer. Until next we beat, the shed is shut.